नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
You copied the...
Yeah, I copied.
Where is it?
Just here, just starting up. I take it on.
Hare Krishna. The topic that I had chosen is why 99 is greater than 100. Such an illogical topic, irrational topic. Not at all suiting your current mathematics understanding. It's coming? Okay. So even a child says that it doesn't make much sense. So many some children are sitting here. You're gonna, this boy, Prabhu, 99 is greater or 100 is greater? 100. 100. 100. Are you sure? I'm going to prove you that 99 is greater than 100. New mathematics. Okay. You can turn it this way. So although the number 100 is a three-digit number and 99 is a two-digit number, naturally you can say that 100 is greater than 99. And some people saw this topic and then said, oh, maybe he's going to add 9 plus 9 and 1 plus 0 plus 0 and then prove that 99 is greater than 100. Different purports. But it's not a comparison between two numbers. Now you see, $99, $100. Somebody works so hard and then earns $99. And someone steals $100. Definitely, the thief has more money than the person who worked hard. But whose money do you appreciate more? 99, the person who worked hard, right? Now two students, okay? Somebody got, one student got 99% in his exam, other student got 100% in his exam. And if someone honestly writes the exam without cheating or copying and he gets 99%, and the other fellow puts some slips and then depends on various other sources and then somehow he puts some slips in his socks and right, or somewhere below the collar and all that. and then somehow he gets 100 out of 100, whose score will you value? And definitely 99%. And definitely this person who scored 100, this student who scored 100, his ignorance will be revealed soon. Okay, his figure is more, but he does not have 100% knowledge of the subject matter will be very soon revealed to the whole world. Right? We cannot hide for a long time. So I'm not going to compare the numbers. I'm going to compare the consciousness in which one attained that number. Okay? So who is great? What is great? Different people give different opinions, expert opinions. But our opinions are based on Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Prabhupada writes, who is a great person? So we have material calculations, we have spiritual calculations. Externally, 99 is less than 100. But we are considering the consciousness or attitude or the way in which the person attained that number, then we give more value to the person who scored less, considering the two examples that we had given. So similarly, we should not be carried away by the external accomplishments or figures or what is seen on the face, right? We should be able to develop Shastra Chakshu and spiritual vision to be able to see one layer behind the external glare of something which is very beautiful or splendorous. Prabhupada writes, one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Apparently, one may be the loser of a game and somebody may win the game. But who loses and who wins is secondary from a spiritual perspective. What is the consciousness of the person who loses or who wins is that matters more. For example, in the battle between Vritrasura and Indra, Indra won. Vritrasura died, right? Indra killed Vritrasura and became the king of heavenly planets again. But who is the hero in that episode? Of course, Vritrasura. Okay. Vritrasura was in a demon body, Indra was a demigod. But demon won. Demon is the hero, not the demigod. And Vritrasura was giving spiritual teachings to Indra. So, Bhagavatam teaches us to go beyond the externals and see what's there within. So it's not the wealth or accomplishment or beauty or education that makes a person great. It's the consciousness. It's the Krishna consciousness. It's the attitude. Morning we were hearing from Gaurang Prabhu about that Gopinath Patnaik episode from the Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Mahaprabhu asked, what was Vaninath Rai doing when he was arrested? Someone said he was chanting Hare Krishna. Okay. So it's not about attaining success or failure in a material situation. It's more about maintaining our Krishna consciousness through those successes and failures. That's our real success, right? That's our real greatness. So apparently somebody may be a failure from external perspective, but if he can maintain Krishna consciousness, then he is greater than person who have had so many accomplishments materially. Right, Pandavas lost the kingdom, and Duryodhan, Dushyasan, Karna, Shakuni, and this party just took all the kingdom. Apparently, these are the winners and they are the losers. But who is the winner? Definitely Pandavas. Why? Because of their Krishna consciousness, not the external accomplishments. Okay. So, scriptures teach us who is the greatest personality? Krishna. Some say that Narayana has four hands, Krishna has only two hands. So Narayana is the source, Krishna is an incarnation. But Bhagavatam says, Bhagavad Gita says, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna is the source and Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. Right? It's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Right? So don't go by the number of hands. Of course, Narayana's hands are also spiritual. Even if you consider numbers also, Krishna wins. Krishna has 64 qualities in full. Narayana does not have all 64 in full. He has only 60. Fine. Brahmaji says that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. The topmost manifestation of the Absolute Truth is Krishna in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy. Naumidyate bravapushe taditam varaya gunjavatam saparipichalasan mukhaya vanyasraje kavalavetra vishana venu lakshmasriye mrudupade pashupangajaya. Anyone knows this verse? This is the first sloka of Brahmaji's prayers in the 10th canto. Naumi dyate bravapushe taditam varaya. Naumi, I offer my obeisances unto Krishna. Brahmaji is offering obeisances unto Krishna. Idyate, you are the most worshipable personality. Right? Abravapushe, your bodily complexion resembles the cloud. Tadit ambaraya, your cloth is shining golden in complexion. Gunjavatamsa, he wears gunjamala, right? Paripichalasan mukhaya, Krishna's face is resplendent with a beautiful peacock feather. Okay? He's not wearing such great ornaments. Okay? He's just wearing a simple peacock feather, which is hardly 3 rupees. If you go to Vrindavan, you can purchase now also. Okay? He's not wearing a costly, gem-studded, golden helmet or mukut like Narayana. He's just wearing a simple peacock feather. Okay? Vanyasraje, Krishna is wearing forest flowers, forest flower garland. Our Narasimhadev wears garland of intestines, antrasraje. But Krishna wears very sweet. The quality of Vrindavan is simplicity and innocence, right? Vanyasraje, he is wearing flowers, he's wearing a flower garland which is made of forest flowers, not some fancy modern flowers which are grown in poly houses and in certain environment controlled things. So Kavala, Vetra, Vishana, Venu, in his hand he is holding curd rice. That's the simplest diet possible, right? So Mother Yashoda packs for Krishna curd and rice mixed, okay? Sometimes she packs milk mixed with rice and sugar. That is his, dinner or lunch, whatever. So, he's not carrying paneer fried rice or butter kulcha, naan and pizza, burger, all the fancy items. He's covered this simple curd rice. Vetra, he's holding a small stick just to control the cows. He is not holding gada, shankha, chakra, gada, and saranga, dhanva, all this. He's not there. All the other incarnations hold all those weapons. In Vrindavan, Krishna just carries a small stick. Okay, just to control his calves. Kavala Vetra Vishana Venu. Venu means one small flute. What is flute? Little bamboo stick with some holes in it. It's not so costly. The costliest flute also may cost maybe 4,000 or 5,000. I don't know. Okay. It's after all a bamboo stick with some holes in it. It's not veena, violin, and what is that called? Guitar and all this. He's not wearing any fancy musical ornaments, musical instruments. Lakshmasriya, but still, this simple form as a Bal Gopal in Vrindavan is the abode of all opulences. Lakshmasriya. Mrudupade, Krishna is having such soft lotus feet. He's not even wearing slippers. Mother Yashoda gave him slippers. You are going to forest, so many pebbles and rocks and thorns will be there. They may hurt your feet. Please wear the slippers. Krishna said, yes, surely I will wear. But did you make slippers for my cows also? How many? 9 lakh cows. 9 into 4 legs. 36,000. Right? Yashoda said, I can't do it. Okay, I'll not wear it. So Krishna was walking barefoot. The glory of Vrindavan land, which is just close by here, 3 hours ahead, is Krishna's lotus footprints. Vrindavanam sakhibhuvo vitanoti kirtim yad devaki sutapadambuja labdha lakshmihi. So, the wealth of Vrindavan land is the footprints of Krishna. Krishna wears slippers everywhere. Even in Dwarka, Mathura also Krishna wears slippers. In Vaikuntha, definitely he will wear very costly shoes. But in Vrindavan, he walks barefoot, imprinting the auspicious marks on his lotus feet on the land of Vrindavan. No monkey, no cow, no calf, no peacock, no bird, no gopa, no gopi would disturb those footprints. Where is Krishna in Vrindavan? You can easily figure out by following his footsteps. Right? In Kaliya Leela, everybody saw some inauspicious omens. All the Vrajavasis became worried about Krishna. They ended up at Kaliya Lake in a few minutes. How? They could follow the footprints of Krishna. That's the real wealth of Vrindavan. So Mrudupade Pashupa Angajaya, Krishna is the son of Vasudev. In Mathura. But here, Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj. And who is Nanda Maharaj? Pashupa. The person who herds cows. Pashupa Angajaya. So, Nanda Maharaj's position as father of Krishna is greater than Vasudev's position as father of Krishna. Yashoda's position as the mother of Krishna is greater than Devaki's position or Kausalya's position or Aditi's position as mother of Krishna in various incarnations. Right? So what is great? Our acharyas and our scriptures and our gurus have told us. Vrindavan is the highest abode. Bhagavatam is the greatest scripture. Krishna in Vrindavan as Bal Gopal is the highest manifestation of the absolute truth. And the highest goal for all of us is to love Krishna. Prema Pumarto Mahan. So, and the highest worshippers of Krishna are the gopis of Vrindavan. These are the five conclusive opinions of Lord Chaitanya. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargyenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradara Naparaha. What is the need to consult any other opinions? We have this topmost opinion by Lord Chaitanya himself. So, the greatest personality is Krishna in that, in the entire cosmic manifestation. And it is Krishna who is being worshipped by all great souls. The conclusion of Bhagavatam, the last chapter of Bhagavatam says like this. Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi. Vedaihi Sangapadakramopanishadaihi Gayantiyam Samagaham. Dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogino. Yasyantam na vidur sura sura gana devaya tasmai namam. Yam Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Chandra, all these great, great personalities, demigods, they are glorifying Krishna with divyaihi stavaihi, with transcendental praises. Vedaihi sangapadakramopanishadaihi gayantiyam samagaha. All the Vedic literatures, Upanishads and the Vedas and Bhagavatam, all these Puranas, they are glorifying Krishna only. Dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogino. In Dhyanavastha, in meditation, all the yogis are meditating on Krishna only, no one else. Right? It is Krishna who is being meditated upon by yogis, worshipped by great demigods, glorified in Vedic literatures. Yasyantam na vidur surasura ganaha devaya tasmai namaha. The end of Krishna's glories cannot be understood by even great personalities, whether it is suras or asuras or whoever. So Krishna is the greatest personality. As Krishna, as people who are a part of Krishna conscious society, we need to have this conviction that Krishna is the best. Krishna is the greatest. Right? And what is the greatest spiritual path? It is Bhakti Yoga. No other path. Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya falapratishtam atyeti tatsarva midam vidhitva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. What you get by Vedas, Ignas, Tapa and Dana, etc., etc., all those benedictions you can get by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti is the topmost path in the entire cosmic manifestation. Only Bhakti is existent in the spiritual world. You don't find Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis in the spiritual world. You will find only Bhakti Yogis in the spiritual world. That is the eternal path. You don't find anybody who is doing some yajnas and yagas in the spiritual world aspiring to go to heavenly planets. You don't find any mental speculators or philosophical speculators in the spiritual world trying to enter Brahman. And you don't find Ashtanga yogis aspiring for Ashta Siddhis in spiritual world. You will only find devotees who are doing Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Bhakti is the best path. We should have this conviction. No other path. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktyam. Karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaham. Tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddham. Shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. You're okay reciting slokas? Or I can recite and then move ahead. So, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya, one who worships Krishna's feet, which are like lotus petals, what will happen to such a person? Karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha. All the deep-rooted material desires of such people will be completely uprooted. Udgrathayanti, they are uprooted. Material desires will completely vanquish because of the satisfaction that we get by performance of bhakti. Right? Tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo apiruddha. But those who are devoid of devotional service, even if they endeavor a lot, they cannot even control their senses. What to speak of uprooting their material desires? So the conclusion is bhaja vasudevam. Just worship Vasudeva, Krishna. Right? So these are the greatest conclusions given in our scriptures. Krishna is the supreme God, the fountainhead of all incarnations. Bhakti is the supreme path. And Krishna's bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, is the greatest spiritualist. Right? Yoginam api sarvesha madgatena antaratmanaha shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. All of you must be knowing this Gita verse, that of all yogis, of all people who are aspiring to attain spiritual destinations, spiritual seekers, bhakti yogi is the best. One who worships Krishna is best. Right? He is the greatest. Now you see this milk. Now, we have five senses. Right? So, through our senses, we enjoy some sense objects. Here is a milk. Okay, a cup of milk is there. So, if you only bring your eyes in contact with milk, you have not brought anything else. Any other senses are not coming in contact with milk. You will only see milk, right? This cup of milk is water, of course. So, you will only see milk. Then, you will understand that it is some white substance. Nothing more than that, right? Then, if you only engage your ears in understanding milk, then you will understand that, oh, these are an organic milk or cow milk or buffalo milk or packet milk or powder milk or cold milk or hot milk, whatever. Whatever description is there, that only you will hear about milk, nothing more. And if you bring your nose in contact with milk, you will just get his fragrance. You will not get anything more than that. The only realization of your milk, of the milk, is by bringing your nose in contact with milk. The only realization you get is just the fragrance of it. And if you just touch the milk like this with your hand will become wet. If it is cold, then you will feel cold. And if it is hot, you will say like this, right? You will just try to wipe your hand. So you will only understand that it's little liquid substance. It's hot or cold or warm or room temperature, whatever. But if you bring your tongue or mouth in contact with milk, you just pour the milk in your mouth, you will get the highest realization of milk. Is it not? The benefit of having a milk, having a cup of milk, is by drinking it, not by seeing it or touching it or hearing about it or smelling it. If you go to Govinda's, you see their milk in their kitchen, they will not bill you. They will not charge you. If you smell their milk also, they may chastise you, but they will not give you a bill. If you drink, they will give bill. Because they understand. Only by drinking, he got the benefit of milk. By seeing or touching or smelling, he did not get any benefit. So, no bill. Okay. So, if we approach Krishna through mental speculation or philosophical analysis, we will only reach his effulgence. Brahman. And if we approach Krishna through meditation, we will only realize him as Paramatma in the heart. Ashtanga Yoga. But if we approach Krishna through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc., by rendering service to Krishna and Krishna's devotees, then we can interact with him face to face. So Bhakti Yoga is the best process that gives us the best realization of Krishna. Right? Jnanis may end up in Krishna's effulgence. Ashtanga Yogis may end up in realizing Krishna's partial expansion as Paramatma only. But Bhakti Yogis realize the personality of Krishna, who is the source of Brahman and Paramatma also. So, Bhakti is the best. Bhakta is the best. Krishna is the best. Right? Who is the greatest? We understood. Okay? And what is the greatest blessing that one can imagine in one's life? Sadhu Sangha. Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha. Right? So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this shloka comes. Some of you must be knowing. Tulayama lave napi nasvargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kimutasishah. Tula, take a tula, like this balance. On one side, you put the association of devotee for one moment. On the other side, you put heavenly planets, you put liberation. This will weigh more. So heavenly planets are aspired by karmis, that's their ultimate result. And liberation is aspired by jnanis, that is their ultimate result. The ultimate results of jnana path and karma path are not even comparable to one fragment of element of bhakti. Right? Bhakti has so many aspects, devotee association is one aspect. In that you just take only one moment association. That also is greater than the ultimate results of karma path and jnana path. Does it make sense? So devotee's association is the greatest blessing that one can aspire for in this entire cosmic manifestation. Never take the association of devotees for granted. Even if their natures are... I'm just remembering one question. Somebody asked the question. So even if their natures are not very compatible with us, with our natures, they don't suit our tastes or whatever, still he's aspiring to get Krishna Prima. So it's very important to respect that devotee, at least from a distance. If the incompatibility factor is too much, that we may not come so close, but still one needs to understand that devotee is very respectable and worshipable. He's dear to Krishna. She's dear to Krishna. So we understood what is the greatest according to the understanding given to us by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Okay. Now, we will go deep into one pastime. King of earth and king of heaven. Between these two, who is greater? King of earth, Prabhuji says. Okay, someone else? We want votes. King of heaven is greater. Okay, anyone else? Both are great. Why are you? Neutral. Unbiased answer. So, king of heaven is a heavenly planet. King of earth is an earthly planet. Okay, who is greater? Yeah, from one perspective, king of heaven is greater, no doubt about it. Okay. From another perspective, king of earth becomes greater. That we'll understand in what context in this pastime of Indra and Prithu. So I'll summarize the pastime just in few minutes and then we will analyze the pastime for an hour. Okay. To learn various lessons from these two characters. And finally the conclusion is 99 is greater than 100. I told you, all of you told me that 99 is less than 100, but by the end of the seminar I'll convince you that 99 is greater than 100. I already convinced in the beginning by quoting that attitude and other examples. So Prithu Maharaj was the greatest ruler, emperor on this earthly planet, and he commenced this 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And he already completed 99 horse sacrifices and he is doing his 100th horse sacrifice. And Prithu Maharaj was a Shaktyavesha incarnation of the Lord. And when he appeared, all the great demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Brahma, Shiva, Four Kumaras and all these people have appeared and then blessed Prithu Maharaj. They coronated Prithu Maharaj and many people glorified Prithu Maharaj. And he extracted all the hidden produces, natural resources from earth. So, you know all the story. So once he commenced this Ashwamedha sacrifices and he completed 99, which is a very rare feat even in those days. And while he is doing his 100th sacrifice, the king of heaven, Indra, who has the record of performing 100 horse sacrifices, he became very insecure. Oh, he's approaching my record. I am called Shatakratu because I have performed 100 sacrifices. And by these sacrifices and various other pious activities, I have attained the position of being the king of heaven. Okay. So now Prithu Maharaj is also performing 100 sacrifices, then my record is broken, right? He's coming closer to me. So Indra could not tolerate this glory of Prithu Maharaj. So Indra changed his form. He took saffron dress, right? He wore saffron like a sannyasi. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about karma sannyasa. Okay? Not sannyasa of karma, but sannyasa in karma. Okay, karma sannyasa there that Krishna recommends is not renunciation of work, but the spirit of renunciation in work. Okay, so Krishna glorifies the spirit of renunciation and detachment more than the external robes or the protocols or formalities of renounced order. But here is a person, Indra, who has accepted the attire of the renounced order without the attitude of renounced order. That is his great mistake. He took saffron. Saffron is taken when you are renounced, but he is not renounced. He was so attached to his position as the king of heaven. So in the form of a very renounced person, as a sannyasi, he came to Prithu Maharaj's sacrificial arena. And that sacrifice is horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yajna. And Prithu Maharaj, then Dindra came in the form of a sannyasi and he has stolen that horse. So without horse, what kind of horse sacrifice you will do? That's a great disruption in Prithu's sacrifice. So Indra has stolen in this false form and then he was going. Then the people realized horse is not there. Some sannyasi has stolen it. Then Prithu Maharaj told, my dear son, please go and capture that fellow. Then Prithu Maharaj's son just ran behind Indra. And then seeing that Prithu Maharaj's son is chasing Indra, Indra just released the horse and then ran away. So Prithu Maharaj's son got the horse. Now he can punish the thief. But because the thief is in renounced order, the thief is wearing saffron, thief is looking like a religious person, a renounced person, he did not shoot any arrows, he did not kill. So Indra's life was spared and horse was retrieved. That's why Prithu Maharaj's son is called Vijitashva, the person who has conquered the horse, who has retrieved the horse back. Okay. Then Indra failed in his attempt, but he did not give up. He had great determination. Right? So he has Haribol. This is wrong determination, by the way. So Indra has come back in the form of another sannyasi. Right? He again wore saffron in a different style. He was holding some danda with a skull on the top of this thing. Danda. And then he came and again he has stolen the horse. So this was happening repeatedly. Every time Indra is stealing the horse, Prithu's son is going and retrieving the horse, and Indra is coming in a false sannyasi form and again stealing the horse. And Prithu Maharaj got frustrated at one point and he just got up. I will kill this fellow. Why is he unnecessarily disrupting my sacrifice? So sacrifice means worship of Vishnu, right? And it is done by great Rajarshis for the prosperity of people and the pleasure of Krishna. But here is a person who is disrupting that sacrifice, and Prithu Maharaj was very angry with him, and he got up and then he took his bow and arrow to kill Indra. Then all the priests said, my dear Prithu, you are the yajaman of sacrifice, you are conducting the sacrifice, you are not the person who is supposed to be killing anyone now at this stage. So we will chant mantras and just put the thief into this sacrificial fire. We will kill him. Don't worry, use it. You should not be killing anyone now. Then they were about to chant mantras and Brahmaji manifested there, the main boss, the supreme personality in this universe. So Brahmaji manifested there and said, stop. What? Not stop killing Indra and stop sacrifice also. Let there be only 99 sacrifices for Prithu. He need not perform this 100th sacrifice. Okay? So, you can stop this sacrifice and Indra will stop stealing if you stop the sacrifice. So, he stopped. Then Prithu Maharaj said, okay, my authority, senior devotee, right? He wants me to stop this sacrifice. So, Prithu Maharaj did not bargain or anything. He just stopped the sacrifice. So at this stage, Indra's score is 100, Prithu's score is 99. Who is great? Indra, who has 100, is supposed to be great. But for various reasons, Prithu's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. Generally, your 100 is greater than 99, as this boy said. But Prithu's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. How? In the next 1 hour, we'll analyze this. Okay. So number one, first reason. So, responsibility is greater or attachment is greater? When you compare between responsibility and attachment, which is greater? Okay. Detachment is greater or irresponsibility is greater? Detachment is greater. So, Prithu Maharaj showed responsibility. Indra showed attachment. Prithu Maharaj showed detachment. And Indra showed irresponsibility. So, Prithu's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. Now, we have great Rajarshis in our Vedic times. Rajarshi. Raja means king. Rishi means saint. Right? Rajarshi means a saint amongst the kings. He is a saintly king. Although he is king, being served by so many ministers and soldiers and servants and so many wives and royal opulence, royal palace and so many people at his command, so much power and influence, still he is like a saintly person at heart. Such people are called Rajarshis. So Rajarshis rule the kingdom with great responsibility and they rule as representatives of Krishna. They don't think that they are God. We are rulers. Vena thought that he is God. Right? So I am the ruler, so I am God. I am the boss. But kings who are in proper consciousness never think that they are God. They are servants of God. They are representatives of God. They think that we are serving our citizens by ruling this kingdom under the guidance of Brahmanas. So they responsibly rule the kingdom till an appropriate time. What is that appropriate time? When a successor is there to take over the kingdom, that is the right time for this Rajarshi to retire from the kingly responsibilities. So when the right time comes, all these great kings, although they have youth and power and influence, everything, they can easily give resignation. Right? They have ruled the kingdom up to this point only as a service to God, service to people. And when another person is ready, able successor is there, they voluntarily vacate the throne and they allow the successor to sit on the throne and they will go into the forest and chant Hare Krishna. They will retire. They will live a life of devotional service throughout the life, rest of their lives. That is called Rajarshis. So they have responsibility and they have detachment also. Oftentimes, in the name of responsibility, we may become attached. And in the name of detachment, we may become irresponsible also sometimes. Right? When we come into Krishna consciousness, sometimes there is a lot of emphasis on detachment. And people consider this detachment to be irresponsibility also. They may not attend to the needs. Some services given to them, they may... I am detached, Prabhu. I may not be doing all these things. That's irresponsibility. Family is there, friends are there, children are there, some services are there within the temple. So one needs to have responsibility for it. But still, one has to have that detached spirit. So whenever we are asked to move from that service and take up another service, we should be detached enough to do it. Right? So point is, in the name of responsibility, we should not be attached. In the name of detachment, we should not be irresponsible. Now let's consider the cases of Indra and Prithu. Indra was very much attached to his position as the king of heavenly planets. He was very attached to this glory of being the only performer of 100 sacrifices, Shatakratu. If someone else also performs 100 sacrifices, he will also be called Shatakratu. I am the only Shatakratu till now. How can this person compete with me? So he could not. He was very attached to his position and prestige, and definitely Prithu Maharaj had no intention to compete or supersede Indra. Vaishnavas never try to quarrel with other devotees or prove themselves better than them, better than others. So Prithu is doing with a pure intent, but Indra is so attached to his position. Although Prithu may not have intention to surpass me, but the very fact that he has performed 100 sacrifices will prove to this world that there is another person who is as great as Indra. That should not happen. I am the greatest. And I should not have any second. I am one without a second. That's what he was thinking. He is very attached to his position. Okay. So, on the other hand, Prithu Maharaj was not attached to his ambitious desire to perform 100 sacrifices. He was detached. So, Prithu Maharaj's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. The 100th sacrifice done by Prithu Maharaj was sacrificing his ambition to perform 100 sacrifices. He sacrificed his plan to perform a sacrifice. That 100th sacrifice pleased the Lord more. Pleased Brahma more. Pleased Brahmanas more. Pleased the people more. So, he is detached from his, from this score, from this respect that comes to a Shatakratu. Indra, Prithu is detached. That's why Prithu's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. Second point, about responsibility. Indra was irresponsible. What is that irresponsibility that he has shown? Indra, how was he disrupting the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj? Indra came in the form of a sannyasi. Okay? When we accept the attire of a sannyasi without the attitude of a sannyasi, initially one may not have such great detached spirit, but at least one should aspire to develop that spirit of renunciation while he is planning to accept renunciation. But here, this Indra has zero spirit of renunciation, but he has accepted the renounced order. Not to accept, just to accept the attire of renounced order. And all people were thinking that, oh, he's a great sannyasi, he's a sannyasi, we'll offer dandavats. So that is irresponsible behavior on a personal level. But he's also irresponsible in a higher level because his irresponsible acceptance of this sannyasa forms is creating a lot of disturbance in the minds of people in general. He is setting a wrong example for people to follow. So many people saw Indra. He is stealing something. And the policeman, Prithu Maharaj's son, Vijitasva, came to take that stolen good bag, which is basically the horse bag, but he did not punish this Indra just because of this one reason. He is in saffron. He is a sannyasi. He is a renounced order person. He is a religious person. So then people thought that, oh, this is a very wonderful way to steal. Right? If I accept saffron and steal, nobody will catch me. Even if they catch me, they will leave me. Nobody will punish me. Right? So he is unnecessarily setting a wrong example to common people just to protect his position because of his attachment to his position as Shatakratu, as the king of heaven. He is irresponsibly setting a very wrong example for people to follow. Okay. I will accept this renounced order and I can do anything that I want. I can steal others' property and I may be forgiven for it. I may be spared. Okay? So one should have, at least one should have the desire to cultivate the spirit of renunciation. And one should endeavor to cultivate the spirit of renunciation. One should pray for the spirit of renunciation while being in the order of renunciation. And one should make it also. But without all this, he is just accepting the attire of renunciation just to fulfill his material desire. Okay, that is irresponsibility. Right? It's a disrespect to the order of sannyasa. Second, it is misleading the people, common people in general. Right? So, that's why Indra's 100
is inferior to Pruthu's 99. 99 is greater than 100. One reason. We have given only one reason. Now, Pruthu Maharaj stopped at 99. He's detached. Okay, I don't want to the score of 100. I just want the welfare of people. So what is good and what is bad? If you are in the position of Pruthu Maharaj, will you be able to stop? All the preparations are made. 99 sacrifices. And it is not advisable to stop at this stage. Okay? With our average intelligence. But it is most beneficial and very intelligent move to stop the sacrifice from a broader vision. We have given one reason, we'll continue to give more reasons. So what is good and what is bad is so dynamic, depends on time, place and circumstances. And we need to see the intent with which a person does the activity, and we should also see the outcome of that activity. So Pruthu Maharaj's stopping of 100 sacrifice is not very good. One may say like that. In one sense, he may be correct also. But there are deeper reasons why he has stopped. We'll discuss more. Second reason. First reason was, detachment is greater than irresponsibility. Or, responsibility is greater than attachment. Both are same. Second reason is, submissiveness is greater than stubbornness. Being stubborn means what? To do the same thing, although you are failing to do it. Indra came to steal the horse. He failed in his attempt. Because Vijitashva came and took the horse back. Again Indra came in another form to steal the horse. Again he failed. So although Indra is repeatedly failing in his attempt to do a mistake, still with great determination he is continuing to do that mistake. Right? So that is called stubbornness. And Indra knows that it is wrong to disrupt a sacrifice. As I said earlier, sacrifice means that which is conducted for the pleasure of Vishnu. To worship Vishnu, sacrifice is conducted, is it not? Now stealing the horse from the sacrifice means interrupting the worship of Vishnu. Such a great offense. Disrupting the activity of a pure devotee, such a great offense. And Indra knows all these things. It's not that Indra is ignorant. And one more thing, ignorance is not the cause of every single mistake that we do. In ignorance we commit mistakes, but knowingly also sometimes some people may commit mistakes because of some past habit or some deep material desire or the great temptation for the so-called pleasure that this activity gives me. Right? One is tempted. Oh, although it is a mistake, if I do it, I'll get pleasure, so-called pleasure, smoking or drinking or whatever. Knowingly also some people may commit mistakes. So Indra is knowingly doing this mistake. He's disrupting the worship of Vishnu. So that is called being so stubborn. On the other hand, this Pruthu Maharaj was very submissive. He is so submissive to his superior. Now Brahmaji came and said, my dear Pruthu, can you please stop this sacrifice? And Pruthu Maharaj did not bargain with Brahma at all. Now, when a stubborn person is given an advice, and if you ask him to stop what he is doing, he will become more stubborn, right? That's the nature of a stubborn, jiddi person, right? You cannot convince him with logic. Even if you present the sound logic also, he will not be convinced. Because the desire, internal desire and attachment is so strong that even if you present good logic, he cannot be convinced. That is why Brahmaji did not go to Indra and stop the sacrifice, and stop his stealing activities. He went to Pruthu. Okay. So, Pruthu Maharaj was very submissive. He did not argue with Brahma. Okay. So, he just respected this advice of Brahma. And he just followed, oh, my experienced elder or senior devotee is giving me this advice, let me just follow. Okay. And following senior's advice or being submissive to seniors, it should not be done in a blind manner, in a sentimental manner. Following is not blind following. Okay. It's Brahmaji had that rational intelligence, had the right understanding of what is best in this situation. By stopping Indra, he will become more stubborn. But if I stop Prithu, he will listen to me. And if he stops the sacrifice, Indra will stop stealing. Stopping stealing means what here? Stopping all the irreligious practices that Indra is irresponsibly introducing in the public. So it's a very grave thing. You may say that Brahmaji is doing injustice to Prithu Maharaj. Kiska galti tha? Whose mistake was that? Mistake was Indra's, and feedback is given to Prithu Maharaj. Right? So if somebody does mistake and you are chastised for it, will you take it? Definitely not. Generally not. But Prithu Maharaj just stopped it out of submissiveness. And it's not sentimental, it's not blind following. He has full faith on the position of Brahma, on the maturity and advanced intelligence of Brahma. So, and Brahmaji could command that respect and trust from Prithu Maharaj. Right? Same Brahma, if he tells Indra, Indra will not listen. Why? Because he has material desires. But Prithu Maharaj is mature. Although you may give a good advice to someone, it will not be taken by everybody in a similar spirit. So the advice may be noble, but the person who is receiving the advice also should be mature enough to accept the advice. Okay. Now you may go for a preaching program and give class, 100 people may be sitting. Not everybody will understand and receive the message in a similar manner. Everybody is influenced by a unique combination of modes. 10% goodness and 20% ignorance and maybe rest of the 70% passion, like that. Different combinations of modes are influencing different people. Accordingly, they will receive or reject good advice. Duryodhan was not receiving any good advice from Vidura. Dhritarashtra was not receiving any good advice from Vidura. Okay? Despite their telling repeatedly. So, a stubborn person will not listen because he has a lot of material attachments. But a submissive person will understand the glory of a good advice coming from a noble, mature, experienced person who is a genuine well-wisher. So, such a person, submissive person, if he is submissive to superiors, he will be awarded with the necessary intelligence to comprehend things. Okay? He will be given the intelligence to the degree one is submissive. Now, the student is submissive to the teacher, and the teacher will reveal more confidential meanings of the chapters, right? So by being submissive to superiors, we learn more. We will equip our intelligence with more maturity. Prithu Maharaj did not argue with Brahma, okay? Prithu Maharaj just followed. A stubborn person is disempowered by his arrogance and envy, but a submissive person is empowered by his dependence on superiors, by his obedience to superiors, okay? So, third reason is, flexibility is greater than rigidity. Prithu was flexible, Indra was rigid. So, Prithu's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. Third reason, why 99 is greater than 100. Okay. So, being rigid on authorized, universal, noble, moral principles, spiritual principles is good, is perfect. Right? So somebody is very rigid in his practices of devotional service. He will get up early in the morning, he will chant rounds in his Brahma Muhurta only, he will complete rounds, then only he will start a task. So there are so many things. He will eat only prasadam even while travelling. If he fasts, he can fast also without taking food, but he will not take anything which is not offered to Krishna. So there are some people are very strict in their practices. Being rigid on such great principles is perfect. But being rigid about one's unreasonable opinions, selfish ambitions, material desires, it's not proper. So the rigidity that we are speaking here in the case of Indra is being so rigid and stubborn in fulfilling his ambition to steal the horse despite his failures, and in being so attached to his position as king of heaven and as the performer, only performer of 100 sacrifices. Right? So that kind of rigidity is not appreciated. On the other hand, this person is very flexible. Prithu Maharaj is very flexible. Now, two children are there. They are fighting for the same toy. One is very young, small child, other is little grown-up child. The parents will go and tell which child? The grown-up child. So now mothers have this experience. The grown-up child is given the feedback. Okay, this is my toy. The grown-up child may say, that's okay, small child, you can just give your younger sister or younger brother, just give the toy, you can compromise. Because this grown-up child has more maturity to understand and he's more flexible to the advice of parents, so parents will choose to advise the grown-up child than a younger child. So this grown-up child is more flexible, more submissive, more mature, so he can adjust. Although justice is on his part or her part. Okay, so rigid person does not compromise at all, but flexible person can adapt to the situations very easily. According to time, place and circumstances, he will be very flexible and malleable, and he is adaptable to the circumstances. If we are too rigid, if you are like touch me not plant, if you don't bend at all, we will break. If you don't bend, you will break. But if you can manage to bend sometimes if needed, then it's good. Now, for example, that doorstep is there, you're exiting. Just imagine that the top is very low and you are 6 feet or 6.5 feet. You say, I will not bend. I will go like this. You will break your head. If you are flexible, you can bend and then go, you will save your head, right? So, like that. So, such people will win more trust of superiors than a person who is very rigid in his things, in his opinions. Now, some people get a lot of services. Even in our devotional circles also, some people who are very malleable and flexible, they get a lot of services. And they can get it done also. Even if you sometimes overload them with services, of course, it should not be done very often. But circumstantially, even if you give more service to such a person, he will somehow manage to do everything. He will fit in that. Especially, we should learn this from housewives. So, we can observe our mothers. So many things will come. Now, the housewife is doing so many things in the house, cooking and then serving children and then cleaning the house and doing so many things. Suddenly relatives will come for 4 days. She has to do all the things that she has been doing every day, plus attend to the relatives also. No complaints. I never saw my mother complaining. Although relatives will come and then stay for 1 month also. So they are very adaptable and flexible to the circumstances. So, they will just fit into their schedule. They will just get up one day before or 1 hour before early. So, they will somehow squeeze in their time. Now, the child is crying so much, mother will attend. The child is sleeping, she will just go and take her food. Right? So, child is engaged, so I can do something. So, like that, a flexible person can adapt to the circumstances, right, very easily. Rigid person cannot do it. And that too, when a rigid person, he's having so many selfish intentions, material ambitions within, it's extremely difficult for him to just adapt to the circumstances. But a flexible person gives importance to a higher principle and just compromise on whatever he's doing. Compromising with a concernful heart for a higher purpose is not a defeat, it is victory. Prithu Maharaj compromised. Now, you may become the legal advisor of Prithu Maharaj and then may say, the authority is unnecessarily bossing over you. Poor injustice. I'll become your lawyer. Right? How can he stop you? Stop your 100th sacrifice. Now, if Brahmaji, if he comes and then says, my dear Prithu, you stop this sacrifice. And if it is second sacrifice or 10th sacrifice or 20th sacrifice or even 50th sacrifice, then Prithu could have stopped. Then he is doing his third sacrifice and Brahmaji comes, Prithu, you can stop at third, you need not perform 100. That's easier to digest, right? He has already performed 99 and 100th is going on now. Then he said, you need not perform 100 sacrifices. Pehle kyun hai bataya? I have wasted so much of time to come up to 99. After coming to 99, just one more sacrifice, my 2-digit score will become 3-digit score. Right? I'll get century. And I'm just one step close to becoming a Shatakrata and you're stopping now. You have not stopped. I mean, all these 99 sacrifices, what were you doing? You're busy so much or what? He did not argue at all. Right? That is the detachment. That's the level of detachment, flexibility, malleability, and submissiveness that Prithu has exhibited in front of a superior authority like Brahma. Right? So that's why his 99 is greater than Indra's 100. Make sense? It should. So fourth point. Dependence on God is greater than insecurity. Oftentimes we are bothered with insecurity. Why? When we are not sufficiently dependent on God's will, Krishna's will, insecurity will overwhelm us. Okay. Now, you see, Bhagavatam says, I am speaking everything from the 19th chapter of 4th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 4.19. So, Bhagavatam says, that chapter only says, that Prithu Maharaj, when he was asked to stop this 100th sacrifice, he just considered, Brahmaji is coming and telling me, he would not have ordinarily intruded into my affairs for no reason. I have been doing so many activities till now. When I was born, Brahmaji came. Till now, Brahmaji did not come. Suddenly he has come, means there must be some purpose. Brahmaji will not come. Prime Minister will not come to solve some problem that you are facing today in your day-to-day life. Right? If Prime Minister has come, means that's a very serious problem, right? So he has trusted this whole thing. And nothing will happen without Krishna's sanction. Not a blade of grass will move without Krishna's sanction, without Krishna's blessing. So Prithu Maharaj felt that it is Krishna's will, it is God's will. That's the reason why I am asked to stop. He just accepted. Whatever is happening in my life, whatever has happened in my life so far is by God's grace. This is also God's grace. Thing is, when we are getting some success in life, it's very easy to acknowledge God. When we meet some calamity or difficulty or failure, if we can see that also as grace of God, that is real maturity. Bhagavatam will tell us. Bhagavatam will teach us this consciousness repeatedly through so many pastimes. Whether it is Pandavas or Prithu or Chitraketu or Parikshit Maharaj or Kunti or Draupadi. Like that, so many people are there in Bhagavatam who face its very unreasonable and uncommon calamities. But they did not budge even 1 millimeter from their God consciousness, from their Krishna consciousness. That is their success. Success is not so much from the perspective of whether you are materially victorious or materially defeated. Whether you are able to protect your Krishna consciousness during these changing circumstances of success and failure, that is your real Krishna consciousness. That is the real success. Right? This dualities will come. Matra, Sparshastu, Kaunteya, Sita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukhada, Agama, Apayino, Anitya, Tam, Stitikshasva, Bharata. They come, they go. They are not permanent. Yesterday also we were discussing. Quoting Chitraketu's example. Gunapravahayetasmin kashyapaha konvanugraha. Right? What is blessing? What is curse? What is hell? What is heaven? What is happiness? What is distress? All these are dualities. Temporary experience. Right? Sita and Ushna, we prepare ourselves. Now it is very hot outside, we can put AC, we can put fan and then sit. If it's very cold outside, we'll put a sweater and then shawl and then monkey cap and then muffler and this and that, and then we'll wear socks also and then protect ourselves from heat and cold. But what kind of preparation are we doing to protect ourselves from happiness and distress? The external preparations we are doing to protect ourselves from Sita and Ushna. Similarly, we should do internal preparation to protect ourselves from Sukha and Dukha. Sukha will come, Dukha will come. We should learn how to balance, how to have an equipoised vision towards both. Then only we are eligible for liberation. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau. Krishna is teaching Arjuna, be equipoised. Whether it is sukha or dukha or labha, alabha, jaya, apajaya, be equipoised. Yam bhina vyatayantyate purusham purusharshabha. Sama dukha sukham dhiram so amritatvaya kalpate. How many of you know this shloka? So Krishna says in second chapter of Gita, 15th shloka, Yambhinam yathayantyete purusham purusharshabha sama dukkha sukham dhiram. If you are able to see happiness and distress, sukha and dukkha in an equal plane, so amrutatvaya kalpate, you are eligible for amrutatva, liberation. Right? Why? Because liberation means going on a spiritual plane. Getting overwhelmed with material happiness and material distress means being on a material plane. Whether it is happiness or distress, after all, it is related to the material world under the purview of material modes. Right? It's not worth giving so much value to it. Understand, it is God's will. Tattenukampam sasamikshamanam bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam hridvag vapur bhir vidadhan namaste jivetaye muktipadesa dayabhak. So, whatever is happening in my life, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is a result of my own past deeds and it is sanctioned by Krishna. Two reasons are sufficient for us to accept it. It's a result of my own past deed. And without Krishna's sanction, nothing will happen. So, Prithu Maharaj is clearly understanding that if I am asked to stop this sacrifice by Brahma, not some soldier, not somebody else, not somebody who is on the street, hey Prithu, you are doing 100 sacrifices, stop it. He did not say, Brahmaji is coming and saying, there must be some reason behind it. So he has that maturity to understand this. Oh, it is Krishna's desire, being communicated to through such a great personality as Brahma. Let me just depend on Krishna's will and stop this sacrifice. I am not attached to this position of being a satakratu. Right? After all these sacrifices are meant for the prosperity of people and my people, my citizens will become more prosperous and happy by stopping this sacrifice than doing this sacrifice. How? Because Indra is introducing so many irreligious practices, apasampradayas, giving so many concocted ideas to people of poor consciousness in Prithu's kingdom. It is Prithu's responsibility to protect his citizens. If I continue to do the sacrifice, then Indra will continue to stop the sacrifice. Okay? And his way of stopping the sacrifice is by introducing some irreligious systems. Already he has done it few times and his different sannyasa attires are being adopted by common people. They are getting misguided. They are getting new ideas. For doing sense gratification and doing all illicit activities. So, why should I encourage his nefarious activities? That's the reason why Brahmaji intruded and stopped Prithu, not Indra. Indra will anyways not stop. The only way to stop Indra is to stop Prithu. So, this is Krishna's will. This is Krishna's. Then when something unusual and uncommon is happening, despite all our human attempts, we need to understand it is Krishna's sanction, Krishna's will. It's not within my destiny. Let me not fight. We should do our best to the... Now you see this point. Dependence on God frees us from this slavery of mind and senses. If within his mind, he has a lot of attachment to do this 100 sacrifice, he would not depend on God. Right? But Indra is very insecure. He could not accept the greatness of Prithu Maharaj. Okay? Now Prithu Maharaj was dependent on Krishna and he was obedient to Brahma. Okay? So, that's why his 99 is greater than Indra's 100. Now, we should have all good intentions and we should do our best to perform whatever activities that we are doing. But we should know we are not in control. We are not the controllers. When some calamity comes, we have to deal with that calamity. We have to fight. Okay? I can give you all this PowerPoint presentation. Okay, it's there in this. You can take. Okay. So, I'm seeing many devotees noting down. So, but know that we are not in control and leave room for the unexpected. What is that unexpected? That is God's will. Beyond our comprehension. Beyond the scope of our planning and scheming and our expectations. So, when situation is beyond our control, beyond our human efforts to manipulate or change or do something, then we have to submit to the situation. Not in a superficial and sentimental manner. Whatever happens, okay, let it happen. by God's will. I will not do anything, I will just keep quiet, I will sit in one corner and chant Hare Krishna, do something else. You do your best. In spite of all your best human efforts, if something is going wrong, understand it is God's will. We are not in control. Okay? Prithu Maharaj surrendered to the situation. So, now you see, there is this story of Dhruva Maharaj. He was chastised by Suruchi. I will not elaborate on the pastime, all of you know the pastime. He was chastised by Suruchi and he went crying. He was hissing like a snake and he went to Mother Suniti and she was already crying. Because her co-wife Suruchi was mistreating her and her husband Uttanapada was neglecting her. And she was already facing this difficulty in her life, Suniti. Davagnina davalateva bala. Bala refers to this mother, this tender-hearted lady, our Suniti. She was, her position was like a tender creeper in forest fire. Davagni is forest fire. Davalata iva. Lata means a tender creeper. So, when a tender creeper is burning in forest fire, you can see the piteous condition. That was the condition of Mother Suniti. So, Suniti is already experiencing that pain of co-wife's mistreatment and husband's neglect. To add to her pain, her son was insulted in public. And her husband did not support her son at all. And her co-wife was very cruel and furious and envious and proud, okay, in chastising this small child. What this small child has done? He just wanted to sit on the lap of his father. Is it wrong? Okay. But he was chastised. But see the glorious consciousness of Mother Suniti. She did not protest. She did not externally protest the activity of Suniti, Suruchi or Uttanapada. Internally, she did not maintain any hatred or envy or any kind of negative feeling towards Uttanapada or Suruchi or Uttama. That's great. Why? Because she was a devotee of Krishna. When we perform devotional service unto Krishna, our consciousness will be equipped with the necessary maturity to see calamity, misery also as mercy of Krishna. Right? So, you know, what was the first thing that Mother Suniti told Dhruva Maharaj when he was insulted? He was crying and coming towards Mother Suniti. And Suniti said, "My dear son, never desire any harm for the person who must have harmed you." Okay. How can a woman say like this? How can a mother say like this? When her son is affected like this, she would immediately become angry with the person who has insulted her son. Naturally, that's motherly affection. But more than being a mother of Dhruva, she was a devotee of Krishna. You know what she said? "My dear Dhruva, I can only give you the affection of one mother, but Krishna can give you the affection of millions of mothers." Her identity and her identification as a devotee of Krishna is million times more than her identification as the mother of the child. Okay, as a mother or as a father or as a husband or a wife, we definitely have to do the needful in certain relationship. But our primary identity is servant of Krishna. Not that identity. That is temporary. Right? The designations of father, mother, male, female, Indian, American, son, daughter, all these are temporary identities. Our permanent identity is a servant of Krishna, devotee of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nitya Das. Is it not? She was in that identity. She was in that consciousness. Right, so more than getting overwhelmed with this external calamity, she was counseling the child, 5-year-old boy, that, "My dear son," and she was experiencing pain. Not that she was indifferent. She was not. It's not that she was not experiencing any pain. Devotees are not stones. They are not impersonal. they have feelings, they have emotions, they will experience pain and pleasure, but they have the ability to tolerate that pain and pleasure. They will not be overwhelmed by these experiences, negative experiences. Tapatrayas will come in the life of devotees also, but devotional service will act as tapatrayonmulanam. Bhagavatam is dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam. By taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will not have any tapatrayas, we will not have any material miseries. It's a shock. How can a book relieve my miseries? No, miseries will continue to exist. But you will not be affected by those miseries when you equip your consciousness with the maturity that is being presented by the characters of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam will equip our consciousness with the necessary maturity to see the misery as mercy of Krishna. That is the question of misery. Misery we have to experience, but we experience as that as Krishna's reciprocation. That's what this glorious lady, our Suniti, was telling Dhruva. First thing she said was, my dear son, never contemplate anything harmful to a person who, even if they have committed some harm to you, committed some mistake unto you. Don't desire harm for others, first thing. Second thing, she says, whatever unpleasant treatments that we receive in our lives is only because of our own past deeds. She was not saying that, oh, Suruchi is did a mistake now and she will experience that reaction, you don't worry. That was not her intent. We are experiencing pain now. This is because of our past deed. See the consciousness. So she was teaching this to the child. She was trying to remove any traces of negative feelings to enter this tender heart of this child. That's the training mother is supposed to give to the child. Third thing that she said is, you have desire to sit on father's throne. Whatever desire you may have, you can worship Krishna. Okay? So, see the systematic way of educating the child, even in the midst of calamity. Don't think of anything harmful to others. Number two, whatever misery you are experiencing is because of past deeds. Number three, take shelter of Krishna for whatever desire that you have. Tameva vatsashraya bhritya vatsalam Mumukshubhir mrugya padabja paddhatim Ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite Manasya vasthapya bhajasva purusham Tameva vatsa, my dear son, ashraya bhritya vatsalam. Take shelter of that Lord who is very affectionate to his bhrityas, to his devotees. Mumukshubhir mrugya padabja paddhatim. This paddhati, this system of devotional service is what is being searched for by great liberation seekers also. Ananya bhave, without anything else in your mind, nija dharma bhavite, while doing your duties, occupational duties, manasi avasthapya, establish Krishna in your hearts, bhajasva, worship him. Right? This is what Mother Suniti is teaching her 5-year-old child when he is affected by a calamity. She was not going for a fight with Suruchi. Okay, I will just go for a fight with that co-wife. Where is that, what is that broom? Or where is that, what is that called? You make a chakki, whatever, some sticks are there, right? Household instruments. He is not picking up and then going for a fight. She did not go for a dharna in front of this Uttanapad. I will give police complaint. Right? My husband is not treating me well. Right? I will go to Swayambhu Manu, father-in-law, that his son is not treating me well. This is what Krishna has ordained. Okay? So let me just accept it and then educate my child also in Krishna consciousness. Somehow Dhruva Maharaj gave importance to the last line, last point more than the first two things. First two things are, don't have hatred for anyone. Number two, whatever happens is because of our own past deeds. Third thing is, whatever desire you have, you should take shelter of Krishna. Then Dhruva Maharaj got an idea. Oh, I have this desire to sit on a position which is superior to my father and great-grandfather also. I will take shelter of Krishna. Okay. Anyways, the whole story, we are not going into that story now. We are into Prithumara's story. But the point is, dependence on the will of God. Prithu Maharaj was dependent. He was accepting, although it is very unpleasant to accept that when your plans are stopped, when your desires are not fulfilled, and there is no justified reason behind it, right? In an inappropriate manner, suddenly you are asked to stop the project that you have taken up, and it is already getting successful. It's close to completion, right? So somebody, for example, you have made a house, very beautiful house. You have endeavored a lot. You purchased the land with so many lakhs or crores, and then you got the best contractors to build the building, right? So tomorrow, building is complete. You just have to paint it. Tomorrow you are doing Griha Pravesh. And somebody comes and says, give this house to me, right? You cannot stay in this house. This house belongs to me. How disappointing it is. How devastating it is. And can you forgive that person? Can you not? Can you control your envy towards that person, or at least anger towards that person? But with a pure heart, Prithu Maharaj just accepted whatever may be the decision of my superior Brahmaji, I'll just implement it. By the way, conducting a horse sacrifice is 100 times more elaborate than making a building. For Kali Yuga people, making a building is a big thing. I gave that example. Already thinking of it only, some people are getting really surprised. But what sacrifice Prithu Maharaj has done is 10 times or 100 times more than this sacrifice. Fifth reason. Forgiveness is greater than envy. When Prithu Maharaj, when Indra came to Prithu Maharaj, after he stopped the sacrifice, Lord Vishnu came along with Prithu, along with Indra, and Indra just fell at the feet of Prithu Maharaj and begged forgiveness. My dear Prithu, I am very sorry. I have behaved in such a nasty manner. Can you please forgive me? And Prithu Maharaj forgave. Right? I forgive you, I will continue the sacrifice. Not even like that. I stopped the sacrifice forever and I forgive you. Absolutely no grudges. But earlier, Indra was envying Prithu Maharaj. He has deep-rooted envy. So forgiveness will open doors of liberation and appreciation, and envy will open doors for self-righteousness and fault-finding and feeling insecure. Right? The nature of this material world is, even if we do something good, with all good intentions, our activity is good, our attitude is good, still there are some people in this world who will envy our efforts. Indra was like that. Demigods are not an exception. Okay. And actually, envy is an indirect appreciation. Okay. Why are you envying the other person? He has or he is something that you are not, that you don't have. Right? So, means you want it. Means you are appreciating the position of having it, and he has it. Means you are appreciating his position indirectly, but you are envying him unnecessarily. Instead of indirectly appreciating by expressing envy, why not directly appreciate? Why not glorify directly? That's how we need to think. And this envy is because of scarcity mentality. Scarcity. There is only one note there, four hands are there. Everybody will fight for this. Oh. Because material world is scarcity. The scarcity is there. Okay. Now, why can't there be two Shatakratus in this world? No, there should be only one. That was the mistake of Indra. So, scarcity mentality. Positions can be there, multiple also. Okay. But no, I should be the only person. So, insecurity. The scarcity mentality will bring in insecurity. Oh, if Prithu Maharaj also performs 100 sacrifices, his fan following will increase, nobody will look at me. Right? Everybody is clapping for my position, now they will clap for his position. Even if they continue to clap for my position, 50% of these claps will go to him. Oh, these two people, means that you have to share the glory. He's not ready to share the glory. He's not ready to acknowledge the glorious position of Prithu Maharaj. Right? So, as long as somebody is below us, we can sympathize with them. Sympathizing with a person who is in difficulty is easy. But appreciating a person who is successful is more difficult. Make sense? It's generally the sympathizing, showing sympathy on a person who is in difficulty is easy. Because we know I am still greater than him. Right? It's boosting our ego. Even if you show sympathy and compassion and then give some help, helping hand also, there's some boost in the ego. I helped him. Okay? But somebody is just going beyond you, he doesn't need your help anymore, he's self-sustainable and he's greater than you, he's becoming more popular, more wealthy, more this and that. I'm here only. There is envy in the heart. Then appreciating is very difficult. Right? So we should, as devotees, we should cultivate this quality of celebrating others' success also, not only our success. Right, we should feel happy even if the other person is becoming greater than us. When other devotees receive more mercy, receive more blessing, receive more opportunities to render service, we should feel happy. Oh, there is another devotee from whom I can take inspiration from. Okay? But if we envy that person, that envy is basically self-envy. That envy towards the other person, which is meant to destroy the other person, will actually destroy our own selves, our own peace of mind, right? Our own intelligence is disturbed. Eventually our body and health also are disturbed by thinking negativity. When there is negativity in the mind, that will affect the whole system. So envy is actually self-envy. We should not envy other people for their success. So externally you may put a face like this, see this. But internally you are not very happy that he is happy. Right? So, now, if we want to enter the spiritual world, how many of you go to Vaikuntha or Goloka, whatever, spiritual realm here? Anyone aspiring to go to the spiritual realm here? Or you want to stay here, continue to stay here? Okay. Practically everybody. If we want to enter the spiritual realm, we have to give up envy. Why? Because in the spiritual world, there is no envy. There is no envy in the spiritual world, not only in human beings, even in plants also, even in birds also. Pa mandara kunda kurabotpala champa karanam punaga naga bakulam bujapari jatam Gandharchite tulasika bharane natasya Yasmim stapah sumanaso bahumanayanti Mandara kunda kuraba utpala champaka arana punnaga naga bakula ambuja parijata. These are all the names of flowers of Vaikuntha. I don't know the English equivalents. Even Prabhupada also doesn't translate the English for this. He will just write like that only in word-to-word meaning. These are all the names of Vaikuntha flowers. Okay. So, all these flowers are very colorful, fragrant, with beautiful shapes, petals. Some are 5 petals, some are 10 petals, some are 1,000 petals. Some are big, some are small, some are of different shapes. So, they are very colorful, attractive. But all these flowers, flowering plants, will take a low profile. Gandharchite tulasika bharanena tasya. When tulasi comes in front to serve Krishna, all these plants will take a low profile. Okay, tulasi, you go and serve. Right? We'll take a low profile. Okay? So, because Krishna loves you so much, you are very dear to Krishna. So, there is encouragement. What is tulasi in comparison to all these flowers? Tulasi is very green leaf. And even her flowers also are green. It's not very colorful. There are not so many petals are there. But still, Tulsi is encouraged. Tulsi is glorified. There is no envy to the position of Tulsi. We are so colorful. We are so fragrant. We are big. We have so many shapes. We have so many petals. And Krishna is giving so much importance to this one leaf. He's always wearing the Tulsi garland and roaming around. Only one color, green. He's also putting that tulsi garlands and leaves on his feet and roaming around. Parijata is not thinking, insecure, envious of tulsi. Hare, Krishna, at least you should wear my garland, not only tulsi garland. Sometimes you put me on your feet. Not like that. They are very happy. So because there is no scarcity mentality in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everybody is allowed to do some service to Krishna according to their capacity and according to the will of Krishna. Krishna wants devotees in the spiritual, different devotees in the spiritual world to perform different services. And everybody agrees to this. Everybody is on the same page. There is no competition. There is no quarreling. Sometimes there is a competition, there is a very healthy competition to inspire each other to render more service to Krishna. But it's that competition is not filled with any envy or any hatred or any insecurity complex, insecurity or inferiority complex or superiority complex. Right? This is the situation of plants. What about Vaikuntha birds? Vaikuntha birds.
Paravatanya bhrdasarasa chakravakam. दात्युह हंस सुकति त्रिबर्हिणम् यहम् कोलाहलो विरमते चिरमात्रमुच्चेर् भृङ्गाधिपे हरिकथाम् इव गायमाने पारावत अन्य भृता सारस चक्रवाक दात्युह हंस सुका तित्तिरी बर्ही
ऑल दीज आर वेरियस एनिमल बर्ड्स ऑफ दिस वैकुंठा सम यू नो बर्ही इज पीकॉक तित्तिरी इज दैट पैरेट एंड ऑल दैट स्वैन्स हंसा इज स्वैन राइट कोलाहलो ऑल दीज बर्ड्स आर सो ब्यूटिफुल वेरी कलरफुल दे आर ग्रीन बर्ड्स रेड बर्ड्स orange birds with beautiful beaks and cuckoo birds. Some are black, some are brown, some are big, some are small, some are pure white like the swans and cranes. Some can fly high, some can be there only. So they are beautiful, they have different shapes, they can make such nice sounds. Cuckoo sings, peacock sing, then many other birds also make beautiful sounds. But कोलाहलो विरमते चिरमात्रमुच्चैर दे आर डूइंग कोलाहल दे आर वेरी हैप्पीली कुइंग बट विरमते दे गिव ए ब्रेक एंड चिरमात्रमुच्चैर दे विल जस्ट मेंटेन ए लो प्रोफाइल दे विल रिड्यूस द वॉल्यूम ऑफ देयर साउंड्स व्हेन ए बम्बलबी कम्स मेकिंग अ साउंड लाइक दैट द बम्बलबी कम्स भृंगाधिपे हरिकथाम इव गायमाने ऑल दिस ब्यूटिफुल बर्ड्स. What are they doing with their sounds? They are glorifying Krishna. Okay? So, although they can glorify Krishna more sweetly, but when Bhringa is attempting to glorify, they give opportunity to Bhringa. No envy there. And this is not Harikatha also. Harikatham Iva Gayamane. Iva means like, that resembles. The buzzing sound of this bumblebee, zzz, that is resembling Harikatha. Okay, at least you are making some attempt to glorify Hari. You please glorify. We'll just take the back seat. Right? There is no envy in the spiritual world. So, now when such encouragement is there, no envy is there in the spiritual world, and if we are aspiring to go there, we should give up this disease and demon of envy which is there within our hearts. Indra is representing that envy. Don't think that, oh, Indra is having attachment, Indra is having envy, Indra is having insecurity, and Indra is stubborn, he's not malleable, he's rigid, he's this, he's that. So, at least I'm not like that. These are all Indras. We generally identify ourselves with Prithu more than Indra. But thing is, at our sadhaka stage, both Indra and Prithu both are there in our hearts, okay, in this stage. So, we need to give up those Indra tendencies and adopt this Prithu tendencies. And one more thing, we should not offend Indra. So Indra came and fell at the feet of Prithu Maharaj and begged forgiveness. My dear Prithu, I am very sorry for disrupting your sacrifice. And he was purified by sincerely begging apology and with a repentful heart. And he got the blessings of Prithu, Brahma, and this Vishnu also. And he was allowed to continue in his activity, in his position as the king of heavenly planets. He was a bit stubborn at one point, but after that he realized his mistake and he apologized for it. Right? We should learn what not to do from the mistakes of great souls without minimizing their position or offending them or criticizing them or blaspheming them. We should not do Indra Aparath. But from his Aparath we can learn what not to do. Okay. So Prithu Maharaj could accomplish Krishna's pleasure and people's prosperity, both, by stopping the 100 sacrifice rather than doing sacrifice. And not only these two, Krishna is pleased. Vishnu is pleased by stopping the sacrifice also. Because Vishnu came in the sacrificial arena of Prithu. Second, people became prosperous anyways. And second, third thing is, people did not get misguided because of Indra anymore. That was stopped. On top of all this, Indra became repentant and Prithu wholeheartedly forgave after stopping the sacrifice. That brought a great transformation in Indra's heart. Because of Prithu's malleability, flexibility, submissiveness, detachment, responsibility and dependence on God, Indra was transformed. That's why yesterday also I was saying, logically speaking, you need not compromise. There's not much mistake on your part. But still, if you compromise and you take a back seat and you empathize with the other person, you show some kindness and compassion to the other person, that could bring a positive change in the other person, seeing our good manners. Okay? It could bring. I'm not saying in every situation you may have to apply like this. Point is, in the name of humility and tolerance, we should not unnecessarily allow ourselves to get exploited by others, especially in this Kali Yuga. Right? We cannot be impractically humble and tolerant. Right? So we should not do that. But at heart, we should not have any malice. Externally, you may have to take an action. I think I'm answering some of the question here. So externally, if we have to take some action, we have to take that action to rectify the rebellious mentality or poor consciousness or envious hatred mentality of other people. If you have to take an action, we may have to do it. But we ourselves should not hold any grudge towards that other person. We may disapprove that activity of the other person, but we cannot disown the person. Okay? So we should forgive. The forgiveness of Prithu transformed the heart of Indra. Okay? Now, we have seen a lot from Indra's perspective and Prithu's perspective. Let's see something from Brahma's perspective, which I already spoke a little bit. So, broad vision is greater than quick solution. Okay. Now, Brahmaji had a broad vision. What is that? Now, if somebody, now two people are fighting. Let's take the children example. That's very easy to digest. Mother is there. 5-year-old kid is there. 10-year-old kid is there. Fine. They both are quarreling. And the mistake is, say, 5-year-old kids, maybe 10-year-old kids, whatever. 5-year-old kid did some mistake. So mother will come. One option is, okay, whose mistake is this? This child's. Slap that fellow tightly. Okay. You didn't do any mistake. Hug that person. Okay, fine. Okay, judgment over. Okay. So can you understand the emotions of this person who is being slapped? Okay. Now when two people, two leaders are fighting with each other, their superior should not only think in terms of who is right and who is wrong. You are right, I'll accept you. You are wrong, just I'll reject you. In extreme cases that may have to be done, in a very severe and extreme cases, but as much as possible we should avoid it. A mature superior will understand that these two are leaders doing very irresponsible service. Just because one leader has done some mistake, that does not mean I reject him. I rectify him. I reform him. Now this say mobile phone, it just fell down. Not on the cushion, on the floor. Right? The screen, there are some, what is that called, scratches on the screen, or it broken. Screen has been broken. One option is to throw it in the dustbin and take a new phone. Second option is, go to the repair shop, give him 200, 300, 500, whatever, and then repair it and then use it. So what do you prefer generally? Repair, not reject. Right?
If you can repair a phone and use it and not reject the phone, what to speak of a person? Right? It's all the more true with a person. Oh, he has done a mistake, reject him, get lost. Out, sir. Out, out. So Brahmaji definitely disapproved the mistake done by Indra, but he did not disown him. Okay? So I want Indra also. Now Indra has done a mistake, so I'll just kill him or dethrone him from heavenly planets, from as the king of heavenly planets. I have to find another Indra. Who is the qualified fellow? Who is the Shatakrata who can occupy the post? It's not a very practical thing. So Brahmaji thought, I want to retain Indra also, and I should not agitate Prithu also. So who is more mature? Who is more malleable? So let me go and talk to him. So Prithu Maharaj, Brahmaji went to Prithu and then stopped him. By stopping Prithu, Indra is also stopped. And by that, Indra is transformed. By directly going and giving a feedback to Indra, Indra will not get transformed. But by seeing the good manners and compromise and kindness and accommodative nature of Prithu Maharaj, Indra was transformed. So Brahmaji had this broad vision how to retain both the people. I want Indra also, I want Prithu also. Right? So Prithu should continue to doing his service as king of earth, and Indra should continue his service as king of heaven. I want both kings. Right? So he rectified the mentality of Indra. He reformed the mentality of Indra. He did not reject Indra. So he disapproved him, but he did not disown him. Okay. Second thing, he disapproved the 100th sacrifice of Prithu. But he did not disown Prithu. Because devotee need not perform this kind of sacrifices. Not necessary. Because Prithu Maharaj has compromised by being submissive to Brahmaji, Prithu Maharaj is glorified for all time to come. This must have happened millions of years back, hundreds of yugas back. Still we are discussing the glories of Prithu, is it not? Why? Because of Brahmaji's action, we are glorifying Prithu even today also. Nice? So Brahmaji brought out the best in both. By exhibiting the Vaishnava qualities and Vaishnava character of Prithu Maharaj to the whole world, he spread the glories of Prithu Maharaj like anything. He made Prithu Maharaj glorious in the eyes of people for the rest of eternity. And he transformed Indra also. So like that, Brahmaji, in a very mature way, having a broad vision, he uplifted the consciousness of Indra, he accommodated him also, and he resolved the conflict without rejecting the wrongdoer. He disapproved the wrongdoer without disowning the wrongdoer. Right? It's not just going black and white. Right wins, wrong loses. Okay, Indra is wrong, Prithu is right. Accept Prithu, pat his back, glorify him, and then Indra, reject him, kill him, throw him out. So that's the last option. If you don't find any other option, then only we adopt to that option. Otherwise, it's not very advisable to reject people unnecessarily. We may disapprove the wrong activities of people, but we should not disown them. Okay. Even if Krishna kills demons also, he does it only for the rectification of their demoniac mentality and to give them a better destination than what they are in now. So Krishna does it out of kindness. Krishna tried to avoid the war of Kurukshetra so much. But this fellow Duryodhana was not at all hearing. So Krishna had to orchestrate this Kurukshetra war and somehow managed to kill this Duryodhana through Bhima. But when Duryodhana's thigh was broken and he was lying in a pool of blood in a piteous condition, Krishna was not happy to see him. After all, every single living being is a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna was not happy to see the condition of Duryodhana in such a manner. So even if Krishna punishes us or even kills some demoniac people also, he does it out of kindness, compassion. He disapproves wrong deeds, but he does not disown people. Right?
That's what Brahmaji also has done. That's a truly broad-minded Acharya also does like this. So Krishna disapproves the wrong activities, but he does not disown the people. And Krishna's kind devotees also do the same. Okay. I'll give a simple example. Mother, you know this example, Prabhupada writes this example in a very small, one sentence only, one or two sentences in fourth canto, Rudra Gita purports. A mother may cook in the kitchen and feed the children. Children can eat happily. But sometimes the children become very stubborn and they say, Mother, I want to cook on my own. But, and the child cannot cook, he doesn't know the recipe. While cutting the sabji, the child may cut the fingers. While putting chili powder in the sabji, her hands may burn. While lighting the fire, her hands may burn. So mother will not allow. Sometimes mother may call the child and then say, okay, you can help me cooking. Okay, I am doing this. I'll take out the recipe. You just put this. You put that. Child is not happy with this. Right? Child will not, his child has become so stubborn that she is not listening to the mother. I want to cook on my own. Right? Not eating the food given by mother also. What will mothers do? Toy kitchen set. I am not advertising this toy kitchen set. Right? I am not selling this. Point is, Prabhupada says this. I am not saying this. Okay? An intelligent mother will bring some toys. Right? So maybe toy kitchen set or whatever. There are imitation utensils there, imitation stove there, imitation gas stove. Okay, you turn it on, a bulb will glow. Fire. Right? There are plastic utensils and there are some vegetables made of wax. Okay? Everything is there in it. So they can play. They can do imitation cooking. So imitating the movements of mother, they may make so many preparations. They may make paneer, makkan wala. What is the menu, Prabhu, today? So 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock already. I have only 5 minutes. So there is paneer sabji they may make, fried rice they may make, pulao, pizza, burger, all kinds of unimaginable dishes of different countries they will make. All imagination only, nothing. But they will play for a long time, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. They become hungry. Okay, you are hungry? They become hungry and then what will they do? Will they be able to eat the food that they have cooked? No. They have to come to mother. So mother, when the child comes to the mother, what will the mother say? You have cooked so much food, why don't you eat it? Then child, that's all play, that's all imitation. I cannot eat that food. I want the food that is cooked by you only. Then mother is actually waiting for this opportunity. When will this stupid child stop this stupid game of imitation cooking and come and eat the food that I have given him? That's mother is waiting for it, is it not? So mother will lovingly feed the child. Okay? Same is being done by Krishna. The conditioned soul in this world will search for material happiness in this material world through material attempts with lot of material desires within. And Krishna is sitting there and then watching. When will this stupid fellow stop these stupid attempts to find pleasure in this material world, which is dukkhalaya mashashvatam? Right? In an abode, yesterday I was saying, right? Material world is like a salt mine. Wherever you scratch, salt only will come. Right? You will not get rasmalai. You will not get malpuva. You will not get gulab jamuns. You will only get salt. So the so-called pleasure in this material world is also pain. Right? So Krishna wants us to just turn our faces towards him and take his shelter. Right? So just like mother wants the child to come back and eat the food given by her. Not the child has cooked on her own by imagination. So we all, the conditioned souls in this world, have rejected the food that is cooked by Krishna. That's why they are being cooked here by Maya. Right? So, the material world is like a prison cell. Sometimes, you know what happens? The children will fight also while cooking. Nobody is making any dish, but they fight. My dish is better than your dish. In my fried rice, I have put paneer pieces, frying in ghee. But in your fried rice, you have put paneer pieces which are fried in oil. Right? And my recipe is better. And they will quarrel also. No cooking is happening. No food item is being made. Stupid fellows are just unnecessarily quarreling with each other. Right? Similarly, in this material world, conditioned souls fight with each other. This is my property, this is my property. I am better enjoyer, I am better enjoyer. Right? So nobody is enjoyer, nobody is proprietor, nobody is controller, nobody is master. Only Krishna is the controller, proprietor, master and enjoyer, and all the conditioned souls in this world are imitating him unnecessarily and wasting their time. What they are supposed to do? Perform devotional service and go back to Krishna. What these kids have to do? Stop this fighting, stupid fighting, and go to mother and eat the food given by mother. Right? So that child's play may last for 1 hour, maybe 2 hours. But a conditioned soul's pursuit of material enjoyment in this material world will last for several lifetimes. That's the difference between these two. Child's example may seem innocent, but on a bigger scale, all the conditioned souls in this world are doing the same thing. Okay. I'll skip some examples. I don't have time. It's already 6 o'clock, Prabhu. I'll just take a few minutes and then close this Prithu Maharaj example at least. The final aspect of Prithu's story is character is greater than accomplishment. Now, by the way, I told all this child imitation story mainly because I wanted to make this point. Krishna may disapprove our activities, he does not disown. Okay? Mother may disapprove the unnecessary time-waste playing of the child at lunchtime, but she does not disown the child. When the child comes back and says, mother, give me food, mother will not say, you stupid fellow, you have rejected my food and went away. You are imitating me and then cooking. I will never feed you anymore in this lifetime. Get lost. Get out of my house. Will the mother ever say like that? Right? Mother definitely is not very happy with the child not eating the food at the lunch time without eating food. This fellow is playing outside. Mother is not happy with it. She disapproves the mistakes and mischief done by the child, but she does not disown the child. She patiently waits. Similarly, Krishna also, I skip this, Krishna also wants all of us to perform bhakti yoga and come back to him, because he knows only in his loving company and loving association we can be happy. In this material world, there is no happiness. Krishna knows. That's how he has made it. So through scriptures, he teaches us bhakti yoga. Through the acharyas, he tells us perform bhakti yoga and come back. And he personally descends as an incarnation and tells us. So I don't have time to elaborate on all this. These are very beautiful points I have put in my book. So I'll stop that analysis. So Brahmaji did not disown both Prithu and Indra, although he disapproved Prithu's sacrifice and disapproved Indra's nefarious activities. The final point in this whole analysis is character is greater than accomplishment. Now, this is the conclusion. Okay, the results of this whole competition is Indra scored 100 and Prithu scored 99. But Prithu is the winner, Indra is the loser. Okay, why? Prithu's flexibility in conflict, submissiveness to superiors, detachment from his ambitious desire to perform 100 sacrifices, responsibility towards his citizens to protect them from all irreligious systems being introduced by Indra, and forgiveness towards a wrongdoer, dependence on Krishna's will, acceptance of good advice, willingness to compromise and be malleable and flexible and adaptable to time, place, circumstances, and the blessings that he received from Brahma by being obedient to him, and the mercy that he has received from the Supreme Lord Vishnu directly for his compromise, and more than all of this, the pure, unalloyed devotion in his heart. Make his 99 sacrifices millions of times greater than Indra's 100 sacrifices. So the conclusion is 99 is greater than 100. Hence proved. In your mathematics theorem,
You prevent hence rule, right? Hence rule.
But Prithu's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. Not every 99 is greater than every 100. Right? So, this one final shloka. Gunadhikam mudam lipset. Anukrosham gunadhamat. Maitrim samanadan vichen. Natapair abhibhuyate. So, if we can adopt this one sloka in our lives, we will not have any problems in life. Bhagavatam shloka. Okay. How many of you know this shloka already? At least a couple of you? Okay, no problem. Guna adhikan mudam lipset. When we meet a person who is more qualified than us, guna means qualities, adhikan means more. Gunadhikan mudam lipset. If we meet a person who is more qualified than us, then we should feel very happy. Oh, here is a person who is better than me, greater than me. I can learn from this person. Number two. Anukrosham guna adhamat. Guna adhamat means if we meet a person who is inferior to us or less qualified than us or less knowledgeable than us, or not as wealthy as us, whatever. In various ways, he is a little lesser than us. For whatever reason, he is junior to us. What should we do? Anukrosham. Be compassionate to them. Number three. Maitrim samanad anvichen. When we see a person who is samanad, equally qualified like you, do maitri. Have friendship with them. Okay? So when we meet a more qualified person, be happy that you can learn something from him. When you meet a less qualified person, don't have superiority complex. Just be compassionate on them. Third is, when you meet an equally qualified person, don't envy them. Don't try to pull them down. So just be friendly with them. Natapair abhibhuyate. Whomever we meet in this entire world will belong to one of these three categories. Okay, either they are better than us, or inferior to us, or equal to us. And these are the ways in which we have to deal with them. Bhagavatam says this, I am not saying this. Then natapai rabibhuyate, then there are no miseries in this world. So there are other things which I will not elaborate now. Fourth canto, eighth chapter, probably 34th sloka, you can see. Dhruva Maharaj was taught this sloka by Narada Muni. Oh, see, the picture is here. Fourth canto, eighth chapter. So, somehow Prithu Maharaj could not, Indra could not see like this, Prithu Maharaj. So, so there was problems, okay? Prabhu, what is the course of action? Yeah, correct. Okay. Just tell me some deadline, I'll answer all the questions within that. All means, as much as possible. 6:15, okay, fine. We have 7-8 minutes. So whatever is possible to answer, I'll answer. And I may even keep some questions aside also, which I feel that I already answered. Okay, this is fine. Yesterday you gave example of Draupadi. Yesterday you gave example of Draupadi that she forgave Aswatthama. The same Draupadi, however, the blood of Dushyasana, okay. And Dushyasana was killed too. My question is that in life, sometimes some people take advantage of our forgiving nature and continuously harass us publicly and in private. My God. They have no remorse in their wrongdoing. I think somebody must have undergone a lot of pain. It is okay to forgive, but the repeatedly offensive behavior, where should one stop? Yeah, actually, as I said before, in the name of forgiveness, tolerance or humility, we need not allow ourselves to be unduly exploited by others. We are dealing with conditioned souls who have shortcomings. Okay? So, because of their shortcomings or conditioned nature, because of influence of material modes, they are doing something wrong. We need not superficially accept that as right and moral behavior and be kind, be forgiving and do all these things towards them. And then we should not lose discrimination and then accept a wrong act as the right act. Okay, we should do the needful. At the same time, internally, we should not hold any grudge towards anyone. He may be the person whom with whom we are dealing, or the person whom who is harassing us publicly or privately. We may disapprove them. Okay, we may have to deal with them. We may complain against them to some people who may take some action. Okay, and if it is within our capacity, we may even take an action also. We may do all these things, but internally we should not have any hatred, anger, or envy, or grudge, or any negative feeling towards that person. I deserve some misery in my life, and this person is like a postman delivering it to me. Internally, that reconciliation has to be there. But externally, we have to address also, just being a sincere well-wisher of the other person to rectify that person's mentality. Right? So we cannot give up our well-wishing mentality, and we cannot adapt to envy or hatred towards people, but we have to do the needful to rectify the unpleasant mentalities and attitudes and behaviors of people who are around us, if it is within our capacity, or at least we should refer the case to someone who can make some difference. Okay? Does it make sense? Okay? It's a short answer. There is no end to elaborating. So long question. A couple of questions. Somebody privately met me. I already answered yesterday's questions. Okay. The feeling that I am right does not allow us to think that we have offended. Correct. Regarding the previous question also, sometimes we may think that other people are harassing us so much. But thing is, we should also consider that I must have done something wrong also towards the other person. Everybody is not behaving with me like this, and that person is not behaving like this with everybody else. Why is he behaving like this only with me? There must be something wrong. So we should have some humility to accept if there is something wrong on our part also. Right? If it is purely other person's mistake, we may have to deal with it. Okay. And about this, the feeling that I am right does not allow us to think that we have offended. Yeah, this is correct. The feeling of self-righteousness, false ego, how can I apologize? Mera ijjat ka kya hoga? If I go and say sorry to him, it's too much for me, my ego to accept. Basically, if we want Krishna's mercy, and if there is a valid reason for us to humble ourselves in front of another person for genuine reason, we should not hesitate. We may sometimes delay also, but ultimately we have to go and beg pardon. That will please Krishna. Okay, we want to please our ego, we want to please Krishna, it's our choice. Okay. When people see accidental mistake as intentional one, what to do? So, if that is the case, we may have to go and clarify to that person. And if he's not listening, it's okay. Krishna will reveal to him whenever the right time comes. So there's nothing wrong to clarify with a good intention. If it is only misunderstanding of the other person, or he is unnecessarily misjudging. Now sometimes there are some people who just accept it. Now you know this story of Srivas Thakur. How many of you know Srivas Thakur from Chaitanya Charitamrita? He was Krishna's devotee. In Srivas Angan, he is doing Harinam Sankirtan with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita and all other great devotees behind closed doors. But this one fellow, Gopal Chapal, he wanted to defame Srivas Thakur. He kept some Kali Puja paraphernalia in front of his house and then said that, and as soon as Srivas Thakur opened the doors, he saw the paraphernalia. But Gopal Chapal's plan is, let people understand that he is doing Kali worship throughout the night. You know what Srivas Thakur said? He called all the neighbors. Oh, come here. Oh, my neighbors, please come here. This is what I have been doing throughout the night. Nobody believed, of course. Okay. So, he has not done any mistake. Somebody becoming envious of him and wanted to prove to other people that he has done a mistake.
right? He wants to defame him. But Gopal, this Srivas Thakur, is hardly bothered about any public image. Whatever people think about me, let them think. What difference does it make to me? I'm worshipping Krishna. I'm devoted to Krishna. He's happy. He did not make any endeavor to clarify to the other person or people in this world. Other people's misunderstanding did not cause any disturbance in the mind of Srivas Thakur. If you have that much detachment, you may not clarify. But if you do not have that much detachment, you can always go and clarify. Now there is another example of Krishna directly. Satrajit came and told Krishna, Krishna, you have stolen my Samantaka money. You know the story, right? What did Krishna do? Krishna found that Samantaka money. He fought with Jambavan for 28 days. Somehow he retrieved that Samantaka money and gave it to Satrajit. So Satrajit, I have not stolen your money. Here is the money. He proved his innocence. We saw an example of Srivas Thakur who did not make any attempt to prove his innocence and purity. We saw the example of Krishna who endeavored a lot to prove his innocence. Okay, both are correct. Krishna is a king. Krishna is a kshatriya. He is in the family of kings. So when people misunderstand him, it's not a bad public image, is not suitable to him. So he did the needful to establish himself in himself innocent. So now it's your choice. Whether you are detached enough, then you may not go and clarify. Oh, this is an accidental mistake. You are calling me intentional. It doesn't make any difference to you. You are detached. But if you need to clarify, you can just go and clarify. Just prove your innocence. You may have to even present some proofs also. And you may have to take other people also to just become liars on your behalf also, if needed. It all depends on time, place, circumstances. Okay. How do we protect the pure devotional service in the heart even after mistakes and punishment so that we don't lose our own Krishna consciousness? Even after mistakes and punishments. Yeah. We need to understand the practicality of being in material world. We have so many material desires and material impressions, and we are interacting with materialistic people. Sometimes there are some mistakes. Okay. But we should have an honest attempt to overcome those mistakes. I say three things. Number one, desire. Number two, endeavor. Number three, prayer. Oh my God, it's okay. Let me complete this. So, desire, prayer, and endeavor. First, you should desire to overcome your shortcomings. Number two, you should endeavor to overcome your shortcomings. And understand, only our desires and endeavors will not be fruitful. We should also be prayerful. We should depend on Krishna. Krishna, please help me overcome this shortcomings. Then this can be there. Other things are there. You can privately meet me or whatever, if time permits. So, thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.